I gotta be honest, I haven't been sleeping well, and you probably haven't either. This AI gold rush is happening right now. ChatGPT 4.0 image search comes out. All these vibe coding tools, what do you do? And all the opportunity there is to build cash flowing businesses, profitable businesses, has got me just chilling in my bed and looking up at the ceiling. So I have about 40 plus thoughts of where the world is going and where the opportunities are. And I brought my friend Riley Brown, one of the top AI vibe coders, content creators, has hundreds of thousands of followers, to come and just chat with me and just let it out there. And so I think that for anyone who feels a bit overwhelmed, knows that there's opportunity right now in the whole AI space, that wants to just be here and just learn what we're thinking about and how we're thinking about things, where we see the opportunities, you're going to love this episode. So Startup Ideas Podcast, let's do it. The Startup Ideas Podcast. Sipping time, baby. We got Riley Brown on the pod, and today we're going to talk about what's been keeping me up at night these days. So there's been a ton of AI announcements over the last few weeks, few months. Riley's my go-to guy when I need him to give me some sanity, and I want his opinion on this. And I wrote this, you know, long thread. I think it's 40 some odd different hot takes about AI and why it's keeping me up at night, why there's a tremendous amount of opportunity right now. And Riley, we're going to go through each of these, and hopefully I can get your opinion on it so I can get a good night's sleep tonight.
Let's do it. I'm in.
So the first one, and we're not going to get through all of them. Maybe we'll just go through a few today. And if people like this sort of thing, comment and let us know if we should continue, you know, doing this sort of stuff. The first one is ChatGPT 4.0 Image Gen is as big as the ChatGPT launch, probably will birth 1,000 plus $1 to $100 million a year vertical software businesses. Riley, what do you think about that?
All I know is I'm very excited to use it for design in my both web apps and mobile apps. It is incredible at generating like gradients and really cool components, little characters. It can generate sprite sheets because I think a lot of people are super into games, and I was using it to create little character sprite sheets so you can actually control the character and you can like animate characters. And so there's so many use cases. So 100% agree on the first one.
So why this is keeping me up at night is because basically I think that there's like a window of time that these businesses could be spun up. And I think that we just saw this week ChatGPT or OpenAI raised. How much did they raise again?
At a $300 billion valuation, $40 billion, I think.
$40 billion. So OpenAI is going to be everything to everyone. They're going to be that platform. I think that there's an opportunity to build, you know, the something for a very specific niche. So I think that right now, you know, playing with 4.0 image, totally worth it. Trying to figure out what are some interesting, weird use cases for it. It's keeping me up at night.
What's one? What do you think one? Do you have any weird use case for GPT 4.0 that like you think not a lot of people are thinking about?
So I had this guy on the pod. What's his name? Just had him, Jacob Pozel. That's it. And I've just been following have you been following this guy?
I have not been following him.
Yeah. So I've just been, there's a picture of him. Oh no, that's not him. He's retweeting a gym bro turned tech nerd, not AI generated.
That's necessary now. Oh, that's hilarious. Ooh.
So I'm, yeah. So,
oh, wow. Okay.
What are you seeing on the screen for the audio listeners?
So for the audio listeners, we're seeing presumably a GPT-4.0 image of a can of energy water. So it's like an energy drink with arms and legs riding a surfboard. And just if it were, like, pause it for a sec. Like just that image is fire. And does it say what model they're using to turn it into a video? I don't see that, but I'm assuming that they're just using one of those video generators to turn a still image, a really high quality studio image. Like if you, 3 years ago, if you got a design agency to do this, I mean, just this GIF, you're looking at thousands of dollars. But yeah, that's really cool.
Yeah, so I'm pretty sure they're using Hendra or Kling to do this. Let's just talk about this as one example. Like you can create, I mean, you can do a service business that is like, hey, like we'll, you know, do GIFs on demand for e-commerce companies. That itself is probably a really big business. I think that, you know, 4.0 just for CPG companies, like, hey, you know, we're the place where if you want to like come up with ideas for packaging, like Orca is a startup. Maybe they hired an agency, paid $500,000 for, you know, this really cool design that they later put into 4.0. But I think that, you know, 4.0 is getting good enough that you can just use it to mock up CPG design. So I just, you know, I think that there's probably an opportunity there.
Totally. 100% agree.
Quick break in the pod to tell you a little bit about Startup Empire. So Startup Empire is my private membership where it's a bunch of people like me, like you, who want to build out their startup ideas. Now they're looking for content to help accelerate that. They're looking for potential co-founders. They're looking for tutorials from people like me to come in and tell them, how do you do email marketing? How do you build an audience? How do you go viral on Twitter? All these different things. That's exactly what Startup Empire is. And it's for people who want to start a startup but are looking for ideas, or it's for people who have a startup but just they're not seeing the traction that they need. So you can check out the link to startupempire.co in the description. All right, let's continue back on the list. I want to talk about this one, number three. Every calendar, inbox, and CRM will be rebuilt from scratch in the next 3 years. Not AI enhanced, fully rethought. What do you think?
I want all of these to be rebuilt. And I want all of my communication channels to be in one feed. And I definitely, like, it's insane. I have like six emails. I'm in 30 Slack groups. I just really think if people really want to keep up with like online communication, I need this. So I need that to happen. And so I've talked to a lot of people who agree. So I definitely think there's a huge demand for it. And so I definitely agree with that.
I saw my buddy Brett Goldstein launch Micro HQ this week.
I saw this. Very good. Did they do like a video demo for it?
Yeah. Yeah, they did.
It was really good.
So here it is.
And so is the basic premise is like you just have your different inbox on the side view. It looks clean, actually.
Yeah, I think the basic premise, I haven't gone deep in it, but I think the basic premise is like going into email is daunting, and it's really within email, like it hasn't really changed that much. It's got a list of like your email is your to-do list app. It is your everything app, as he calls it. So it's like, how do you use AI and intelligence and also just like good design to I guess bring email to the next level.
Totally. And like categorize things, prioritize things. I think there's a huge need for it. I think, Notion created their own email platform. And I've heard some people like it, some people don't. I think there's just going to be like, I think all of the email clients should build this. But I'm excited for it to like include more than just email. Like one that really prioritizes calendar. Superhuman's pretty good at that as well. It just doesn't have that dashboard feel that this product looks like it has. I don't know if you use Superhuman at all.
No, I don't. I don't.
Okay.
I probably should, but I'm a Gmail guy, and Gmail, like, I'm looking at this and this is interesting to me, you know, mm-hmm. like the idea that like my calendar's there, that it's like being smart. Like, I like the idea of something like this. And that just goes back to my tweet, which is, I think that now with intelligence, aka AI, there's just an opportunity to look at calendar, inbox, any CRM. And by the way, this is like literally like a $700 billion, you know, plus industry will be rebuilt from scratch. So, you know, from a startup idea perspective is like, okay, how many niche CRM tools are there? How many niche inbox tools are there? How could you think about, you know, integrating intelligence, making it more of a dashboard, making it more beautiful, vibe coding it? By the way, side note, have you played with 21st.dev?
21st.dev? It's the component library. Yes. Yeah. I've seen this. I haven't used it.
Also keeping me up at night, which is like, you can just use... You can like look at these animations. I think that what makes a great web app is a lot of the animations and the movements of it. And now you can go and just like grab these components and implement it super easily. So not only are you adding intelligence to your startup, but you're adding like delightfulness and beauty, the dashboard nature. This is what's keeping me up.
Yeah, and I think component libraries are huge for just design in general, especially I think vibe coding as a whole needs a lot more component libraries. And I think eventually AI agents will have access to component libraries like this, so they'll be able to just select really cool components like this and place them on your web apps, your mobile apps, and things like that. So yeah, definitely super bullish on component libraries in general.
Like, look at this pricing page.
Yeah, it's like, fire.
It's fire.
Yes.
You know? Like, I need to implement this on every single one of my SaaS apps for like yesterday. And by the way, you can charge more when you like implement stuff like this.
100%. I mean, this is no easy feat though. Like, to build this library, I wonder how many hours it took to create all these. I bet... thousands, honestly.
Yeah. So people looking for startup ideas, think about inboxes, calendars, and CRMs. What other one here looks interesting to you?
Ooh, let's talk about the spaghetti video.
Okay. Give us the rundown about, you know, remind people what the spaghetti video is and what, you know, which was 739 days ago, and give us a prediction of what you think could happen in 739 more days.
Yeah, I think there's always been a battle between the AI hype guys. And if you think about it on a spectrum, I'm pretty far towards the AI hype versus AI cynicism. And the AI cynicism crowd posted this video, I think, very early on. Or someone hyped up in video generator and posted it on Twitter. And it was Will Smith eating spaghetti. And it looked hilariously bad. Like, it was so bad, it was unreal. And then the AI cynics used that as an example of like, okay, AI is so bad, it's never going to get good at creating AI-generated video. And anytime you have that like even balance between positive and negative, you're going to get a ton of virality. It's just going to be a part of the culture. And then slowly but surely, like a lot of other things in AI, the goalposts just keep getting moved back because slowly but surely people kept posting Will Smith eating spaghetti. And then I think around the VO3 era, maybe, I don't know, 6 months ago, someone posted a Will Smith video and it was perfect. It was Will Smith eating spaghetti and it looked like 95% there. Like realistic down to the noodle, I'm telling you. And so if you look back, and it was 739 days ago. Seems like a lot, but it's really not. You know, that's, what is that? I mean, that's not even 2 years. And yeah, I mean, if we think like people are going to be creating movies with prompts 739 days from now, with perfect dialogue, with perfect speech, with great background music, like all of the models are going to be integrated into these videos. And it's going to completely disrupt social media. I mean, do you think anything I said there was far-fetched?
No, to me, not at all. To me, I'm kind of thinking about like, is there going to be a rise of faceless video, right? Like if I could direct a 25-minute incredible story about a particular topic in a niche I understand, why wouldn't I just like run a content farm?
I think there's a lot of problems with this. This theory, because I think 100% it's possible. My thing about this is, I think social media platforms are going to start de-boosting faceless accounts, because I don't think people want faceless accounts. If you think about social media, people think they want social media to just see like content, but there's something like about human nature, about why we watch videos. People want to feel connected to other humans. And you also will like, you're like, why don't I start a content farm? The content farms are going to be won by content farmers. Once you meet a real content farmer who's running hundreds of thousands of accounts at once, you realize that this is an like winner take all type situation. It's the same people who run the Instagram bots on the accounts. They're going to create algorithmic stories that people enjoy, because the content farmers have a data advantage, right? If you think about this, like from a content creation, you have your script, you have your visuals, you have everything. And these content farmers, every single account that posts, they're going to learn from that. And so think about it like Mr. Beast, you know how he learns from the retention metrics on all of his videos? Imagine having a content farm, but every video informs the next video, and these accounts are doing it at scale. And so in my opinion, like Gary Vee has this quote where he's just like, AI influencers are going to be the next big thing. Like Sally Jones is going to be running account for some AI avatar. I'm like, that's not how it's going to work at all. It's going to be a group of 10 people overseas somewhere who are running millions of accounts, to the point where it floods social media, where Mark Zuckerberg's going to be like, oh, like we have to tone this back, like, or else it's just going to flood the internet with brain rot. And maybe that's the end game, but like, I think people would go somewhere else if that was the end game. So that's what goes through my head there. Maybe that's somewhat cynical. But when I met a real content farmer and he showed me the quality of videos he was making already with AI video, I was like, this is going to get bad. So,
but in 739 more days, when all these tools, all these content creation tools are so good, won't 99% of content be AI generated? Like even your mom might, you know, take a picture of herself or something and be like, I want to make this like a 1 minute movie or whatever.
Totally. Anyone will be able to create them. I think there's going to be a market for these videos. My question is, will it be on the popular social media platforms? That's my question. If I could bet, I would bet on your podcast. That is real humans coming together, talking about things in real life. I would bet on Joe Rogan. I would bet on unscripted content that feels real, if I could put my money on anything. I'm actually not focused on AI video really that much. That's just like, I only have a finite amount of attention. And so like, I would rather focus on like the human long form podcasting. Like that is genuinely what I am super bullish on. And I just really think like, it's like being, I just think it's going to be mass produced and it's going to be hypnotizingly good content. And so I just think the rules are going to be adjusted in that era. And so, yeah.
Number 10, most customer support will be automated within 36 months, not just tier one tickets, complex multi-step resolution that previously required senior support staff. What do you think?
No brainer. Yeah, for sure. I mean, no doubt.
And honestly, like, I don't know about you, but it feels like customer service in general has just gone, like, post-COVID has gone so, it's like in the toilet. Mm-hmm. So if instead of, like, I'm calling this hotline and someone who, like, barely speaks English is talking to me and it's frustrating for them and it's frustrating for me, if AI actually helps me get to what I need quickly, that would be dope. Obviously, there's the downside of, like, I don't know where those people are going to lose their jobs.
Yeah, I mean, we could say that for a lot of things in the near term. Like, we could be worried about people losing their jobs. But, like, at the end of the day, we're trying to talk about what we think is actually going to happen.
Right.
And
okay, so we get a pass. If you're listening to this, we're just talking about the opportunities here. We know that people are going to lose their jobs and some people are going to evolve. Like that customer service agent might evolve into another job, right? So, like,
yeah, I mean, I, at the end of the day, you have to be truthful. Like, neither Greg nor I in this episode are going to change what's going to happen. We're talking about what ought to happen. And yes, what I'm excited about in general is just the kind of the same way that books were completely changed with AI. Instead of having to, like, swipe through the pages to find anything, you can immediately get your answer by talking to AI. The same thing's going to happen to websites and frequently asked questions for websites. Like, you're going to be able to get your answer right away. So a lot of the community service is just going to be, you know, going to a website and chatting with a chatbot. It's going to know exactly what you need right away. So I don't think there's going to be too much of a need for as many of the calls. A lot of it's just going to be solved at the chatbot level, especially as people get used to talking to a chatbot more, which is, we've seen recently, it's massively growing.
Okay, let's do this one. This one's not so much AI, but I'm throwing it in there as a bonus. The worst thing that can happen to your startup is mediocre success. Enough to keep you going, but not enough to change your life. Most founders are trapped there, thinking about this a lot with respect to shutting down or doubling down on projects. That's me saying that. I'm thinking about this a lot. What do you think?
I did it. We pivoted. The last app that we created, we're actually still building it. And, like, there's a lot of people on the App Store who like it. And it was going well. But none of us were passionate about it. We ended up building something that we just weren't passionate. We thought it would be a quick project. And it just took longer. So we decided to do something more ambitious that got us, that we were excited to wake up every day to do. And yeah, and now I'm, like, probably the greatest decision of my life, if I had to guess, looking back.
Yeah, and I think a lot of us get caught up in our routines because, like, we commit to something and we're just kind of like, another day working on this thing, another day working on this thing. But deep down, we know that this isn't fun or it's not really, like, unlocking our ultimate potential. Dude, there's a project I'm working on right now where the lead engineer who's working on it sends us a daily Loom and with, like, the update. And it's literally like I look forward to my day for that Loom. You know what I mean? Like, all I care about is that Loom. It is so exciting to me. And that's when I was like, you know what? I want to spend more time on this project and sort of shut down other projects that might have millions of dollars of revenue or hundreds of thousands of users, but I don't want to, like, focus on it.
Yeah. And so there's always the opposite too. Like, some people need to just, they have a good idea and something that they would really like to do, but if they just keep pushing through it, they'll reach momentum in their business and then it'll become more fun. So it's important not to give up too early on a project, like before it becomes really fun, but also not spending years. I also see this in content creation a lot. A lot of content creators do not enjoy making content, but they've previously made the decision that they're going to just make content for a super long time when they should probably work on something they really like. And I think it would bring out a lot of their creativity. Totally.
Number 14, I think you'll like this one. The sketching economy is the real AI revolution. When anyone can turn sketches into production-ready designs, taste and ideation become the only scarce resources. And the insight I had here was I've been sketching more myself, just like literally sketching. And I want to get better at sketching because I'm realizing that if I sketch a thumbnail and throw it into ChatGPT 4.0 for YouTube and it's a really good sketch, I might get twice the amount of views or twice the amount of comments or twice the amount of likes. So the value of sketching, meaning taking out a piece of paper or using an iPad and sort of sketching out, to me is the most underappreciated art right now.
Yeah, I think of sketching as just kind of mapping your ideas. And I think 100%, and that's why I have three whiteboards behind me. I sketch all the time. And I think it goes beyond just literal sketching. Like if you think of all of these voice notes apps where people are kind of brainstorming their ideas and then getting AI to refine it, it's very similar to that process where you throw out your idea quickly, quick sketch, whether verbal, audio, however, whatever format, and then AI refines it and creates and brings it to life. Very bullish.
Dude, you're going to like number 16. Consumer mobile is back in full swing. We went from desktop first apps to mobile first apps to now AI first mobile apps. What I mean by desktop first, I mean like think Facebook.com, mobile first, think Instagram, now AI first mobile apps, think Cal AI. The next wave of $100 million a year apps will start mobile first with AI baked in from day one. What do you think?
Hey, I mean, if I didn't believe this one, I wouldn't be working on the Vibe Code app. But yeah, I agree wholeheartedly. And I also think a ton of smaller, like fun apps that are like very, very niche. And I think you've been talking about this on Twitter a lot too, about how just software in general is going to become really, really niche because you'll be able to create multiple variations of your software and actually like really tailor it to the type of user or whatever niche the user's in. And so I think a lot of people are going to carve out niches and maybe they're making, you know, six figures a year building a simple app that's like tailored for specific niches. So I'm super bullish on consumer mobile and consumer web for that matter, for sure.
Yeah, so I agree with you. Like obviously I really believe in like the vertical strategy. I will say number 19, AI is creating winner take most markets overnight. The window to establish yourself as the go-to solution in a specific vertical is maybe 6 to 12 months before it closes for a decade or who knows. This isn't helping my sleep. And then I said LOL because I do think that the big horizontal platforms, the ChatGPTs and the Claudes and the Geminis of the world are going to basically, you know, they're going to create agent, they're going to be, you know, agent platforms basically that will, that you could use to do specific vertical tasks. That's why I think right now is such a great time to build an AI startup.
I agree. And if you're inclined to like follow, if you follow Greg, you're probably really into business or you're really into AI. Never forget how different early adopters are than the masses. And I think there is a massive opportunity for taking some of the popular apps right now are complicated to use for the normal person. So like really simplifying the use case, I think there's a ton of value in that. And that's, you know, one of our core thesis.
Number 20, really smart strategy is to rebuild traditional products with AI as your unfair advantage. Hiding the complexity behind familiar interfaces. I was actually thinking about mobile apps when I wrote this. Basically, just look at proven apps that have no AI, make them AI first if it adds a ton of value to the end customer. I put that in brackets.
What's a good example? Let's think of a good example of one. I just kind of want to like mentally go through this.
Okay. Well, the obvious example is Cal AI.
Totally.
Yeah. I mean, but pre-Cal AI, you would just have an app that was essentially a database that you'd basically put in and say, I just ate a cupcake and a cupcake is 300 calories. Or it would be a database of like, you know, Krispy Kremes are 300 calories. Let me just add that. The idea of take a photo and then it figures that out for you was the innovation.
Totally. And the thing that immediately comes to mind is something like Canva or, you know, that like, you know, you pull out your phone, you create some graphic and you add multiple elements to it where GPT-4o is going to be able to just generate all of those in one. And maybe you start with a sketch, but it immediately generates and then you can ideally split or separate the layers and then move them around. And I think graphics, there's a lot of alpha, and that goes back to the first one, which was GPT-4o. I think GPT-4o is going to do this a ton across many verticals.
Let's do two or three more.
Cool.
Number 22, we'll soon hit the tipping point where custom AI tools, I also meant like AI agents, but custom AI tools and AI agents are cheaper than hiring humans, even for small businesses. What I meant by this is I think that we're going to get to the point where we're getting to that point. We're in this point where instead of hiring a designer, you might just be like, you know what? I'm just going to use V0.
Yeah. I think for when people are getting started, I think it's a good idea. It wasn't until recently when I started working with like really talented designers. And I just think if you're a really, really good designer, like use AI all day and really amplify the amount of clients that you're like helping out. I think the ultimate combo right now is just being really good with AI and being a really good designer, 100%.
You want to pick one and then I'll pick the last one?
Sounds good. If vibe coding will be $100 billion opportunity, how big of an opportunity is vibe marketing? Yes, let's talk about vibe marketing.
So, dude.
Okay. Can I preface this one?
Yeah.
Okay, so Greg and Boring Marketer, Jordan Mix, they've been talking a lot about vibe marketing. And I think, I want to first say, I think what you guys are talking about is very important. I love automations. I use automations. But I think vibe coding is very fun. I think setting up automations is quite boring. And so that's why I was just saying, I don't like the name for vibe marketing because it doesn't, there's something about vibe coding. It's free. You just kind of vibe code and you add things and you just kind of see what happens, you know? And vibe marketing is very like structured and it saves you a ton of time. I would pay a lot of money for an agency to teach me about it and save me money and time. But that was my only beef with vibe marketing. I don't want to make it sound like I think it's a waste of time.
I mean, for context, there was a fight that was happening on X between all of us where Riley was basically anti. He basically was saying, you know, vibe marketing is a term made up by marketers. I think I even responded. I said, yeah.
I was only beefing with the term, not the acts that you were talking about, because I saved all of Boring Marketer's images. Like those have been great. I'm just like, this is not a good name. But they were talking about it on CNBC. And so maybe it'll take off. I don't know.
Totally. Which is hilarious because we had talked about vibe marketing in like a group chat a while ago. And we're like, we're going to talk more about vibe marketing and just see if it like picks up.
Do it.
And then all of a sudden it's on CNBC and there was like a Forbes article with like all of our stuff on it. So
honestly,
it could happen.
Me hating on it would actually probably make it more. You need some haters or else it's not going to catch on, you know?
I will say one thing about, you know, the boring nature of vibe marketing. I know someone who's an accountant. And to me, like I need to do my taxes right now. And it's like I'm always pushing it off. It is the most, it takes the energy away from me so much. You know, I'm a creative. You're a creative. You understand that, right? But this person who I'm thinking of, he absolutely loves being an accountant. He loves tax law. He loves just understanding and looking at audits and stuff like that. To him, it's really interesting. Just like to the boring marketer or to Jordan, they love that. So that's my take on vibe marketing. Anyways, to answer this.
Honestly, yeah. Fair enough. And you know what? If they make a good enough platform for vibe auditing, I'm in.
Yeah.
Like, count me in. Yeah.
How big of an opportunity is vibe marketing? I think it's a massive opportunity. I don't know how big it is. Yeah.
It's massive. I agree with everything that you guys have been talking about. I actually met with the founder of Lindy when I was in San Francisco last week. Super cool dude. And like what they're working on with agent swarms and a lot of that, I think vibe marketing is kind of in the email and CRM space too, like handling a lot of that work and just getting rid of all of the boring stuff. I think it's all great and a massive industry. Probably as big as vibe coding.
You've come a long way, my friend. You've come a long way. All right, last one. AI number 33. AI will kill the homepage. Interfaces will get replaced by entry points that change based on who you are, what you need, and when you show up.
Oh, like, okay, a personalized homepage for me. I guess I really haven't thought about that. I just pictured all homepages just kind of having a chat like experience, but that's, I like that though. Can you explain that a little more?
Totally.
Like what? Yeah.
So my take is the ad market is extremely personalized. And the reason why it became very personalized is just because it's like a $1 trillion industry. So Facebook invested and Google invested in taking your data, honestly, and making the experience really personalized. I think a similar thing is going to happen with web and mobile apps, where when I it's starting to already happen. Like when I open up, let's just say I go to, I'm trying to think of like the vacation. Vacation's like a sunscreen company. The products it sells me, because I live in Miami, Florida, it can get that data, should be different than the products it might sell you because you're in, did you move to Austin?
I'm in Austin, but I'm moving to San Francisco to grow the company. Yeah.
Okay. So, San Francisco, for example.
Sure.
It also knows that like I might listen to the vacation playlist. When I go to the website, it should play my favorite song. So it's just, I think what I'm trying to say here is that websites and apps are getting smarter and smarter. And the foundation of that will be AI and personalization.
I 100% agree. And I also think even if it's just selling one product, the product photos will change depending on who you are. Because it's so easy to create variations of these product photos. So yeah, I agree 100%.
Okay, should we do one last one, even though I said we wouldn't?
I'm in.
Okay, last one around schools, just because I dropped out of college, so schools, I think about it a lot. School number 38, schools won't be disrupted by AI. They'll be disintermediated. Smart teens will skip formal education, build audiences, run experiments, learn faster. Kids say they want to become creators, but creators are becoming entrepreneurs. Entrepreneurship becomes the most popular profession. That was kind of a rant when I started writing that. But the idea here is that kids are saying they want to be creators. But what that really means is they're going to become founders. And a lot of kids in schools are not going to go to college and or they're just going to be running experiments, vibe coding, vibe marketing, putting stuff out there, trying to make money.
Yeah. I actually do think they're going to be disrupted. Are you following what's going on with the Alpha School? It's actually in Austin. It was a big Twitter post, but like they're getting like young kids who are all like, they have 2 hours of work per day where they just learn from an AI. All of the students are doing better. They're off the chart smarter. And a lot of them are creators, ironically, because every semester in this school, you like at like 14, 15, you're starting companies, like you're starting a food truck. And so I do think, And maybe it'll be like a really luxury school, like it'll be above what we think of as private school now. But I do think AI will disrupt it. But I do also agree with everything else you said about people wanting to become creators slash entrepreneurs. I do think it's just, I think Peter Levels tweeted it last week where he said being an entrepreneur is a safer job than actually having a job. And I mean, obviously you need to have like some good foundations, but I do think there's some truth to that because I don't feel at risk of losing income right now because I know that I could adapt in so many ways. And I think that that is kind of how we should teach kids to use AI to like be adaptive, especially at a young age. Like you are adaptive at a young age. So yeah, I guess that's my take.
100%. All right, Riley Brown, that's the pod. What'd you think?
Hey man, I enjoyed it. I enjoy talking to you. I enjoy getting behind the scenes in your famous Twitter threads. I love it.
If you can't fall asleep, if you're like us, just super excited to wake up, running through doors, please let us know. Riley, anything? We'll include all your social links in the show notes. But is there anything else you want to leave people with?
Yeah, I mean, we just launched 2 days ago, launched Vibe Code app, which is the first ever app that builds mobile apps directly on your phone. We were going to release it in waves. We got way too many signups for us to handle it. So we're racing to scale the servers. We're going to release it on the App Store. It's available for pre-order. We're trying to put something at the level of Claude Code or Cursor on your phone to build mobile apps. So that's what I'm going to be working on for the foreseeable future.
Beautiful. By the way, you know, there's a running joke that people make fun of me how I say Claude. I call it Claude.
Oh, you say Claude. Yeah, I think I've heard that before.
Yeah, it's highly embarrassing. It's like going to a coffee shop and ordering like a cappuccino and a croissant.
A croissant. Oh, I like the sound of croissant. I don't like the sound of Claude.
Yeah, most people don't. All right, Riley, this has been fun. Until next time, appreciate you.
Peace.
Peace.